This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're going to spend the rest of the hour now talking about something that's already got just about everybody talking.
The very blunt truth is that men still run the world.
That is from one of the most powerful people in America, man or woman, Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg. By now, you've probably heard about her new book, Lean In, Women, Work, and the Will to Lead. It's Sandberg's manifesto on why women's progress in the workplace has stalled. In a word, her words, the problem, according to Sandberg, is women themselves.
They start leaning back. They say, oh, I'm busy. I want to have a child one day. I could possibly, you know, take on any more. I've never had a man say that stuff to me.
That's from a 60 Minutes interview broadcast last month. And I'll give reporter Nora O'Donnell some credit. She pushed back, asking Sandberg, what, are you saying women aren't ambitious? Here's how Sandberg responded.
I want to say it unequivocally and unapologetically that the data is clear that when it comes to ambition to lead, to be the leader of whatever you're doing, men, boys outnumber girls and women.
So what's Sheryl Sandberg's solution? A new kind of feminist revolution where women lean in, quote, seek challenges, take risks, pursue their goals with gusto, and take their seat at the table. Listeners, we already know, based on all the Facebook comments, that you have a lot of strong thought and opinion and experience about this. So we want to know what you think. Is head first into the wind really the way to go for women to advance in the workplace? Call us with your thoughts at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Now, Sheryl Sandberg is in Boston today. We invited her, but she couldn't join us. So instead, we thought we'd assemble a group of some of Boston's most accomplished women and ask them about their lives and experience and whether or not they think Sandberg is giving good advice to women in the workplace. And I am delighted to have them all here today. Betsy Myers is the founding director of the Bentley Center for Women and Business. She's also worked at very high levels in the Clinton administration, where she advised the president on women's issue and served as a senior advisor to Barack Obama in his 2008 presidential campaign. Betsy Myers, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Kathy Minahan is the former president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston. She served there for 13 years and was the first woman appointed to that role. She's now the dean of the School of Management at Simmons College. Kathy Minahan, welcome to you.
Hi, Meghna. It's great to be here.
Great to have you as well. And also with us is Nancy Gertner, a retired federal judge in the U.S. District Court of Massachusetts and currently a professor at Harvard Law School. Nancy Gertner, welcome back to the show.
Great to be here.
Okay, so let me start off with a quick response, possibly even yes or no, briefly from all of you. Do you think Sheryl Sandberg is on the right track in saying that women need to maybe take a little bit more responsibility for themselves and their progress in the workplace? So just yes or no, briefly. Let's start with you, Betsy Myers. Yes, she's on the right track.
Yes.
Okay, Kathy Minahan?
Yes, her message is a little broader than the simple statement, women need to lean in, but yes.
Okay. Nancy Gertner.
Yes, but not the whole story.
Okay, yes, but not the whole story.
I can't do yes or no.
Well, so let's dig into lean in a little bit. And I'd actually like to do that by hearing a little bit of your own stories and how you got to where you are and the challenges and successes that you had, because I think those are very instructive, because that's essentially what Sheryl Sandberg does in her book. So Betsy Myers, tell us a little bit about how you got to where you are and how that sort of overlapped with what Sandberg's saying or doesn't. Did you feel like you did that leaning in, and that's what got you to?
Yeah, I mean, I did some leaning in, but as a woman leader who skinned my knees many times along the way, there were times I didn't lean in, I didn't raise my hand, I made stumbles, and I think that's what we all is. What I think what Sheryl's trying to say, and what I love about her book and being with her today at the lunch, is that this kind of willingness to say, no matter how high or things that you successes you've had, this willingness to say, as Sheryl has done, right? I didn't always do it right. I made mistakes. I found myself not taking credit, or and she said that so many men are so comfortable. It's so true, saying, "Yeah, I did that." Mm-hmm. And women say, "Well, I got this success because of the people around me, and I'm lucky."
Yeah.
Right? So just things like that.
Well, give me an example from your career when maybe you felt that tension between wanting to be more ambitious and claiming your seat at the table versus maybe what social pressures you felt or innate pressures not demonstrate.
Yeah.
That.
Well, I just remember one example, which I've actually never really talked about, but it was when I was on the Obama campaign as the chief operating officer. And there was a couple times where I felt really that it was important that I tell the president, then candidate, something that I thought he needed to know. But I didn't lean in because there was kind of a culture in the campaign of more bureaucracy with that David Plouffe was the campaign manager. And so you really had to go through him. But my gut was telling me I really needed to have this conversation with the then candidate and where I would have leaned in, right, and taken that risk. And I didn't on a couple issues. And when I look back on that, I'm really sorry.
He did pretty well, notwithstanding.
Yeah, no, he did well. But I'm just saying as an example of some, in all of our leadership or management, we make these decisions. You know, are we going to lean in and take the risk? That was one time that I didn't.
Kathy Minahan, what about you? I mean, you've got a long and kind of groundbreaking career at the Boston Fed.
Well, I think there's the woman leaning in is part of it. The receptivity of the organization or the people that you're dealing with to accept the leaning in is the other part of it. Long, long time ago, my first job, I was interviewed at the Federal Reserve Bank of New York as a computer programmer after being told several times by interviewers on campus that women were not accepted. This was plain, straight out, not accepted into management training programs. So I get down to New York. I take the test for a computer programmer. I pass the test. And I asked them, you know, do you have a management training program? And they looked at me and they said, yes, but we've never had a woman in it. But we've been giving it some thought. So there was some receptivity there. So they sent me around for another round of interviews. And 24 or so years later, when I left to come to the Fed of Boston, the reading from my personnel file, funny things and so forth, there was the first interview I had when I went for the management training spot. Nice comments and everything. And then in big capital letters, this could be trouble.
Trouble.
But, you know, I leaned in to ask the question, but they were receptive. And I agree with Betsy. I mean, I can go back over my career on the Open Market Committee and elsewhere, and I can, you know, give you chapter and verse. You don't have enough time for this, but I can give you chapter and verse on times when I look back on it, I feel I should have leaned in more than I did.
Okay.
And that subsequent events really proved that a voice at that moment in time, raising an issue, raising a subject, would have been very useful in driving the conclusion, and I didn't do it. And I cannot tell you why I didn't, other than just, I think the feeling, and Sheryl Sandberg talks about this, you know, how can someone in her position not be totally self-confident? How can someone in my position not be totally self-confident? But the fact is you're not.
Mm. Nancy Gertner, your career is one in a field that's adversarial by nature. You have to make an argument, and a successful one to win. But nevertheless, you were also a woman in that field.
Right.
So what are some examples from your career?
Well, I'll give you examples from my career, but I just wanted to frame this for a moment because I think that it's not, women are not leaning in not because they are, you know, sort of culturally so. I mean, that's part of the picture, but part of it is also anticipating discrimination, which still happens. So you have to look at this both as an institutional problem and then the impact of that institutional problem on the women entrants.
But so, isn't that exactly one of the things that rubs people the wrong way about when they hear what Sheryl Sandberg has to say? Because it sounds like she's saying, forget the institutional problems. If you work harder and lean in, you can possibly overcome them.
But it's a reciprocal kind of situation. In other words, if all of us did not push the ceiling, we would not have gone through it. And so if women are leaning out, anticipating discrimination down the line, and therefore not pushing the models, then it's easy for the institutions not to change. So it's both anticipating discrimination. In my case, it was very much like Kathy. You know, no one was calling me. I was a private lawyer. No one was calling me. All of a sudden, someone called me to represent them in cases that were way over my head. I knew that a man would have said, oh, sure, I can do this, even though I've never done a murder malpractice and I never done any of that. And I knew that a man would say fine, and I said, fine, I'll do it, and I'll pretend to confidence that I didn't have. And then when I succeeded, it had other ramifications. But for the women that I deal with in law school, they anticipate problems down the line, and they're right to anticipate problems down the line, but they're wrong to meld their behavior now, anticipating that and not batting up against it.
Okay, so elaborate on that a little bit, because this is another point that Sheryl Sandberg makes, in that one of the things that many women anticipate is they want to start a family. And so they think, well, I want that in a year, 2 years, 5 years. But so therefore, right now, maybe I shouldn't, again, this is what she says, shouldn't be as ambitious right. as I could be, shouldn't take that new job, et cetera. Did you, any of you experience that? Have you seen that in your colleagues? People shaking their heads.
I've never experienced that myself. I haven't seen it in my colleagues. I mean, work is fun, and getting ahead at work is even more fun. So it strikes me as sort of self-defeating. I mean, you do a lot to be good at work. You sacrifice a bit. You work very hard. And when you get ahead, it makes all of that worthwhile and even more fun than it was before.
So but Kathy Minahan, if I may.
I can't imagine dropping out. I really can't.
Well, not that dropping out, but I read a paper that you wrote called Do What You Love mm-hmm. that you wrote back in 2007. And mm-hmm. in it, you said that you had established a career in the Federal Reserve System that was a decade long before mm-hmm. you had your children.
Children, right.
And so, I mean, that is a commitment to work mm-hmm. And to a goal that maybe not every woman can make or is willing to wait that long even to start a family.
Well, not all women are the same. Not all men are the same. And I'm not saying what I did is exactly the path that, you know, every woman should follow. But it did serve me in very good stead. Both times when I was on maternity leave, I was promoted.
Yeah, no, I it'd be interesting to see. I mean, I also started a family at 39, but the answer to your question, I mean, yes, that's the way I did it because that was just the way I wanted to do it, and because that was just the way the cookie crumbled at the time, as they say. But we ought to be focusing on the institutional environment
exactly.
in which women are making these decisions, so that maybe the women, your generation of women, or the women afterwards, don't have to do it the way we did.
Yeah,
you know, that's sort of focusing again on the women's reaction to a discriminatory world and the discriminatory world.
Right, but you are seeing that in the younger generation. The millennial generation are saying, you know, we don't want to work 90 hours a week. We want a purpose-driven life. We want to work in corporations or organizations where the whole person is embraced. We did a research around this at the Center for Women in Business at Bentley. And so that's different. And the younger generation, I think, is saying, you know what? I saw my mom and dad, you know, working these long hours,
right.
and we want to do it differently. So that's something that the
men and women?
Men and women are saying, you know, we want to be present for our children. Mm-hmm. In our research that we did at Bentley, a high 70% of the people we surveyed said having a happy marriage was top on their list. Huh. So that's a shift. You know, all three of us, I think, had our babies later. My daughter was born, I was 41. Mm-hmm. And it's a different, when you're established and you have a reputation and you have a baby, it's a little bit different
Absolutely.
Than when someone
isn't
established.
Well, you have more leverage. You have
right.
more leverage.
Yeah. Much more leverage.
Yeah, right.
I think the important element that has been stressed here, people have come down negatively about Sheryl's perspective, which I think has been extremely great in terms of opening up this dialogue at a very important time. We need a more productive workforce in this country. You know, you think about debt to GDP ratios. You got to pull down the numerator
right.
and bring up the denominator, and we won't be able to increase that growth rate unless we have a productive workforce. That means making use of every good brain that we have around. That's got to be an organizational goal, an organizational challenge. And when Sheryl talks about bringing in big companies to this whole lean in thing, she's talking about them making changes in the workplace that enable women to get ahead conquering that subtle discrimination that goes on, those biases that are there that sometimes people don't even recognize.
Okay, so I'm going to be the voice of cynicism here, because while I appreciate everything that's been said so far, but on the other hand, I can only imagine what a lot of listeners are thinking right now, that, well, reality is going to set in eventually, and they don't have much faith that many workplaces are going to change in the way that we're talking about right now, and that they've had even personal experience where there is a lack of flexibility, or that even when they requested minor changes such that they could do a better job at work because it allowed them to be better at home, that they couldn't even get that kind of support, or the sheer cost of having a family and how that's really driving a lot of decision-making. That, you know, it's all well and good to talk about what might happen down the line with sufficient, you know, internal force, but a lot of people don't think that that's going to be the case.
Right, but you know what she's saying is, listen, she's not trying to solve all the problems of the world in this book. She's basically saying, what can we control?
Right.
Ourselves, right? The leader in you. Take responsibility for your career and lean in as much as you can. Is it a perfect world? No. Is every company perfect? But I will tell you, and this is the work of our Center for Women in Business at Bentley, that what we're seeing from our corporate partners is they're saying, you know what? We know that, you know, if we have more women in senior roles, we'll be more competitive, right? And our center is all about helping them find the action steps to support, retain, and promote women. And so there is this movement, and you see companies like PricewaterhouseCoopers and Cisco and others and Kathy, all those companies that you can talk about that came to your conference that are saying, wait a minute, women matter, and we know that in order to be competitive, we need to move that direction.
But apropos of what you were saying, the workplace will never change if younger women don't challenge it. I mean, so I'm talking as a lawyer to some degree. If you get into a law firm and you say, well, gee, in 7 years, I think I might have a family and the workplace is going to be really inhospitable, so maybe I'll go someplace else. That means that at the time that the law firms are trying to pick partners, there won't be enough women.
How many risk takers is it going to take, though? I feel my blood pressure rising just thinking about what it means to actually, on the ground, as an individual, do exactly what you're saying, you know, to confront or maybe to encourage
or
change
to organize,
in your own
organize
workplace.
Again.
But women have power. They're increasingly large shares of the educated population, the educated workforce. Companies recognize that. The Wall Street Journal, 2 years in a row, big conference on women in the workplace. That's not happening unless this is part of a corporate agenda, a corporate concern at very senior levels. They've put a lot of money into bringing women along. Our conference, the Simmons Women's Leadership Conference, just a couple of days ago, 600 women brought in by EMC, 200 and 300 by Cisco, by HP, by many companies across the nation as well as here in the Commonwealth. Really focused on this issue because it's a difficult issue. You need to find more well-qualified people.
Listeners, we're talking about, I'm talking with some of Boston's most accomplished women about the ideas and thoughts put forward by Facebook CEO Sheryl Sandberg in her new book, Lean In, about how women can take more power, be more ambitious to claim their seat at the table, as Sandberg says. I'm speaking with Betsy Myers, Kathy Minahan, and Nancy Gertner, and you can join us. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. I just want to say we've got a couple comments over social media. Suze Carter wrote on our Facebook page, yes, women should lean in more rather than pulling back. One must say yes rather than no to opportunities as they present themselves, but you don't have to take silly risks along the way. Let's take a quick call here as well. Beth is calling from Jamaica Plain. You're on the air, Beth.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm 43 years old, and I'm also a woman living with HIV for 23 years. And I heard Sheryl Sandberg's TED Talk a couple of years ago, and I'm reading her book now. It really inspired me to really lean in, to challenge myself more. And I recently started my own public health consulting company about a week and a half ago.
Well, congratulations.
Wow. I'm doing really well, and I'm thrilled.
Beth, congratulations. Let's get another call in here.
Meghna, how do you do clapping on the radio?
You can actually clap the microphones. We'll pick it up. Chris is calling from East Bridgewater. You're on the air, Chris.
Hi. I don't know how well my example's going to fit into your discussion, but I can only give you my personal experience. I work for the National Park Service here in the Boston area. And in recent history, the director of DOI, Department of the Interior, was a woman. The director of the National Park Service was a woman. My specific superintendent at my park is a woman, who, by the way, just got a 50-year government award service last year. Our deputy superintendent is a woman, and our lead interpretive ranger is a woman. So I say yes, ma'am, a lot at work. And I see a lot of intelligent, hardworking ladies, and so I just thought I'd share my thoughts.
But the government is different. I saw lots of women in the U.S. Attorney's Office, women public defenders, and virtually no women litigators over 17 years, litigators in court, to do the court presentation, over 17 years. So, I mean, the government is actually different and maybe better at this than private industry.
Well, let me ask you another thing that may be slightly different, or that is different, and that is, you know, all three of your careers, you were on a very fast and high trajectory, but the vast majority of women aren't at that level. I mean, they are hardworking, but they're not going to be at the executive level. And this issue is just as important for them.
Absolutely.
But the challenges seem greater, even because their flexibility is less, their opportunities might be less. The leverage that you were talking about basically doesn't exist for many jobs. So, I mean, what do you think about whether or not Sheryl Sandberg's message even applies at all to women whose working circumstances are different and whose the sum total of challenges of their life might be even greater?
I still think lean in and taking responsibility for the position that you want next, at whatever position you're in, is good advice. Now, there's a culture associated with every organization, and you need to be sensitive to what that culture is and understand it. But nobody's going to come find you. You have to find them in any situation that you're in. I think that you need to be a little brave. You need to be willing to take, as the social media person said, willing to determine what's a silly risk and what isn't. But I think it's still good advice to try to see what the next step is and to take it.
You know, one of the things that Sheryl said today, which I absolutely love, which is, what would you do if you weren't afraid?
Yes.
Right? Because so much of what you're talking about is people are afraid. I'm in this middle management job. You know, I'm not a big risk taker. And what she's saying is, lean in. Think about what you want next. What are you dreaming about? What are the gifts you bring to the world? And then who in the organization could be a mentor or a sponsor for me, right? So it's just taking leadership of your own life and your own career.
While that's an excellent message, I do wonder, especially in this economy, how many people can afford to even imagine a life without some amount of fear regarding work.
What she writes about, and actually I add to this Anne-Marie Slaughter's discussion, because I think that they're actually both right. What she adds to the discussion is, take a woman and a man, both in middle management, both with all of the kind of economic exigencies that you describe. He is bound to go further because he's going to anticipate that he'll have a clearer road. She will not. I mean, I think it's not only a question of leaning in the way Sheryl describes. I also, it's a question of paying attention to what other women are doing on either side of you. And I'm an old, literally 60s radical. I mean, I think it's a question of organizing. I think it's a question of women carefully and understanding the risks in any given work situation, understanding what's happening to all of them. Joan Williams at Hastings writes about the maternal wall, which is, you have a child and clearly discrimination follows. So what do you do with that? That may not be something an individual can do anything about. It may be something that all the women in the workplace have to do
about. Well, there's one piece of tape that I would like to play that's very apropos to what you said. We reached out to a lot of women for this conversation, and just about everyone we talked to wanted to join us. Many of them couldn't because of work, of course. One of them is Katie Ray. She's the managing director of TechStars in Boston and founder of Project 11. It's an institute that helps startup companies. She's been married for 16 years, has children as well, and she read Sandberg's book, enjoyed it a lot. But she shared a thought with us that she wonders if there's a lost opportunity here for women at Sandberg's level to advocate for larger structural change, really. Mm-hmm. Because she said, look at Title IX, for example, that one law transformed women's participation in sports in a generation dramatically. Mm-hmm. So Katie Ray told us, and we'll play a tape here in just a second, she wondered if there could be structural change like that in the workplace.
For instance, I work in funding early stage companies. if you look at the divide between what percentage of the total capital goes to men versus women, it's astonishing at this point. It's still under 5%. Aren't there structural aspects that we could address there that might change in one generation instead of 20 generations what percentage of super high growth companies are founded by women? So a lot of that is missed, and she has such a powerful platform by which to help enact some of those structural changes that I think we've kind of missed an opportunity there.
So anyone have a reaction to that? Betsy Myers?
I mean, one of the things she said today, which I just said hooray to, which is, what's the best way to break down institutional barriers? That women run the companies, right? Yeah,
right.
I mean, that's like, let's get in there and make those changes.
But other people look at, for example, Marissa Mayer, who's now CEO of Yahoo, and says, well, once a woman gets there, it's not actually that much different than when a man was.
Right, but you know what? The Marissa Mayer one is so easy to jump on that bandwagon,
right?
Because what we don't know is what the information, there's not a lot of information about why she made that decision. But what we do know is apparently there was a lot of people that were working from home that weren't working, and she was brought in to turn Yahoo around. And we have to give her credit and support her, right? Because
right.
if a man went in there and did the same thing, would we all be saying, see?
Right.
Right?
Yeah, we would.
Yeah, maybe. But
there was a New York Times article today about the extent to which the tax code undermines women's work. And so, yeah, you know, if we change the exemption for childcare and made it more possible, that was the author's suggestion, to make it more possible for women not at the top level who can afford it, doesn't matter, women at the lower levels who are getting the benefit of tax advantages, but women in the middle. We could look at the tax code. You know, we can look at the kinds of, at the availability of childcare. And we can, it seems to me, that's why I wanted, when you asked at the beginning, do you agree with the leaning in? I do, but it's only part of the answer. It has to be broader institutional change.
Kathy Minahan?
Well, I also think, too, that it's sometimes broader institutional change is taking place and you just don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great group of women angel investors called Golden Seeds that has membership here in Boston and membership in New York as well. And they are doing angel and first stage venture funding for companies largely owned by women. So there's a lot of action in the entrepreneurial space around funding women's companies.
Well, on that note, I'm afraid we've run out of time. It's been such an engaging conversation, though. Kathy Minahan, Dean of the School of Management at Simmons College and former president of the Boston Federal Bank of Boston, the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Magna.
And Betsy Myers, founding director of Bentley's Center for Women in Business. Pleasure to have you. Thank you so much. And Nancy Gertner, retired federal judge in the U.S. District Court of Massachusetts and current professor at Harvard Law School. Thank you as well.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And listeners, let us know what you think, as always, at radioboston.org. That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.